Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We're talking about maintenance of voter registration rolls today. The Secretary of State of New Mexico recently sent mailers out to folks in New Mexico asking for confirmation that they still live in New Mexico and are still active voters and eligible voters. And this has caused some criticism. Critics are calling it voter suppression. State officials say they are complying with the National Voter Registration Act, which requires states to maintain the voter registration rolls. And we're joined this morning by New Mexico Secretary of State Diana Duran. We also have Vicki Harrison with Common Cause New Mexico. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
I want to start with you, Secretary Duran. Right as we were getting ready to start the show, you said, I want to clarify everything. I want to clear up everything. And
that's
so
right.
What in your mind is the first thing that you feel is not being understood about this mailing that you sent out and about voter registration rolls in New Mexico?
Thank you for that, Elaine. It's amazing to me. I guess the most important thing for New Mexicans to know right now is for the first time in many years, New Mexico is in compliance with federal and state law because of this mailing that was sent out. So it's very, very important to make note of that because many, and I have to say that on my way up here, I even got a call from a legislator. So many of the legislators who are both parties, Democrat and Republican, have called and said, thank you for doing your job, following the law, and complying with the federal, the National Voter Registration Act. For many years, we have not been in compliance with that law. So that's important to know.
Since 2005, I think, was the last time that this process was undertaken accurately.
You're exactly right, accurately. Because of the failure of the previous administration in 2007, not mailing anything at all out. They didn't do anything, comply with it at all. And then in 2009, there was a mailer that was sent out by Mary Herrera, the previous Secretary of State, that was, according to the Department of Justice, there were a lot of incorrect items on that mailing, so it did not comply with federal law.
And that's because federal law has very specific requirements for what kind of language is used, what kind of information is put on these mailers, right? I mean, it's not just do what you want.
Exactly.
Kind of circumstances.
That's what I've been telling everybody. This is not Diana Duran making up the language that's on these cards, sending this out as people have criticized me for, saying I'm part of this large voter suppression someone's going out there. I've made this language up on my own. All of that is untrue. What this is in the NVRA, National Voter Registration Act, I have that right in front of me so I could read it word for word if you need me to, but the language is specific as to what language should be on these cards prior to us mailing them out. But more importantly, another part of this is that in 2011, during the legislative session, our New Mexico legislature thought it was also critically important, number one, that these mailings go out and that we comply with federal law, and number two, they dictated in that bill that was carried, by the way, by Senator Linda Lopez, one of my biggest critics here, who passed this law requiring me to mail these cards out during this time frame. So it's not, I didn't make up the time we mailed them out either. So Senator Lopez's bill passed the Senate by a vote of 34-0, passed the House by 66-0. Not one person voted against it. So unanimously, the New Mexico legislature in 2011 said the Secretary of State shall mail these cards out at this time. So it's interesting to note that I've had people like Representative Brian Egoff, Representative Gail Chasey, who are criticizing the mailing that they themselves voted for and are requiring me to send out.
But let me pause you there for a second, because in my conversation with Daniel Ivy Soto, and we did hear a little bit from him just prior to the show, he, former state elections director, currently now executive director for New Mexico County Clerks. One of the things that he indicated when we were speaking was that the language on the mailer that you sent out, first, let me back up a minute. From what I understand, the federal government has requirements, but that it doesn't lay out the specific process that the state must undertake, that the specific process, the details of that process are then what is laid out in state law.
Not necessarily, no.
So there's parts of it that are in federal law, and then there's additional requirements in state law. So he was explaining that 90 to 120 days is state law.
Well, yes. And again, that was in Senator Lopez's bill. The legislature said between 90 and 120 days. But let me talk about the language, the wording.
Well, that's what the criticism is. The criticism is that the language on the mailer does not match the language in the state statute that says it shall say X, Y, and Z. And Daniel Ivy Soto had said, you know, this language is not as inclusive as it is in the statute.
Good. Let me clarify that for you. The language in 1-4-28, which was the result of the language change in 2011 by the state, the language there is, you're right, not identical to the language in the National Voter Registration Act, which I have right before me also. So federal law trumps state law. We all know that. So in federal law, under NVRA, and I've highlighted it here, the wording that
is... And NVRA is the National Voter Registration Act,
the federal law. The wording in the federal law is the wording that was used, the you may be required to confirm your current address. That wording, first, I got to make 2 points on this. It's in federal law. The language here says that we should put that on the card. Secondly, the language on this card that we mailed out is identical, this is very important, to the mailer that went out in 2009 by Mary Herrera. Identical. I don't think we remember any legislators or anyone in 2009 when these mailers went out to all those voters in 2009, that identical language was on there. There was no mention about anyone having concern with that wording. But in addition, the Department of Justice visited my office 2 weeks after I took office in 2011. And they said to me, two agents came, the Obama administration's Department of Justice, and said, the previous administration, we are not, well, basically they said, your office is not in compliance with federal law due to the failure of the previous administration, 0709. So they looked at me and said, you are required to comply, you will, or we will file a lawsuit against you. And I thought that was interesting because for 4 years, they didn't file a lawsuit. They didn't do anything to the previous administration for not complying with the law. So now they come to tell me, you will comply or we will file a lawsuit.
Well, you took office in
2011.
Right? 11.
I was elected in 2010. So I said immediately, of course, everything I've said during the campaign is I will follow the law, comply with the law. So that began discussions, meetings, and just ongoing discussions with them from January 2011 to where we are now. We continue to have discussions with the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, and my office. So those agencies, in addition to everything else I just pointed out, not only reviewed but approved the wording and every inch of this card. So none of that. So again, that language, in addition, the DOJ said, is in conformance with the state law that is here in 1-4-28.
Diana Duran is Secretary of State here in New Mexico. This is the KUNM call-in show, and we'd like to hear from you this morning with your questions about this mailer that was sent to over 177,000 folks who were registered to vote in New Mexico. The number locally to call here in Albuquerque is 277-5866. The toll-free number that you can call is 877-899-5866. You can also send an email to callinshow@kunm.org, or you can post your comments online. Vicki Harrison from Common Cause New Mexico, what do you think has sparked the amount of resistance that we've seen among some communities to this mailing, the criticism of the mailing, despite some of the things that the Secretary of State has pointed out with respect to the language being similar to that which has been used before? Or exactly the same in some cases.
I think part of the biggest criticism has been that people are confused. People don't understand it. They get the card, especially when we have people who haven't moved in 10 years and have currently voted. They voted in the primary, and then they get one of these cards, and they don't understand it. And I think that has been the biggest criticism, is that they don't know what they can do with it. I mean, my office has taken dozens of calls from people saying, hey, I got one of these cards. I've lived here for 20 years. I vote every single time. I mean, you know, it's been reported in the news, our own voting rights director at Common Cause got one. And she's been voting since 72. So I think that's the biggest criticism, is people don't understand why they haven't moved and they've continued to vote, yet they still get one of these cards.
So that brings me back to you, Secretary Duran. How was this list compiled? My understanding is that there are several different databases that secretaries of state use to compile this type of list that is used to then confirm voters on the rolls.
Again, Elaine, everything that we did in preparing the list for those who would receive the card is all based on complying with federal law. So there's criteria that has to be followed. So remember that we're going back to 2005. For whatever reason, when a county clerk, and all of this is flagged at the county clerk level, everyone needs to understand that the Secretary of State does not have the authority to either remove anyone, purge anyone from the rolls, or flag anybody. All of this is done at the county clerk level. So each of the county clerks, the 33 county clerks, way back since 2005, of course since 1995 when this law went into effect, is required to flag a person, what we call NVRA, under that black status, if for whatever reason there was a piece of mail that was sent back to the county clerk as undeliverable.
So in
the
official
case of,
mail.
So in the case of this executive director or
voting rights director,
We actually did some research for her on that when all this came out. And sometime in 2006, there was a piece of mail that had been sent to her. You know, possibly sometimes when people do a change of address card, temporary, go on vacation, whatever. Some reason that piece of mail came back to the county clerk, an election-related piece of mail. The county clerk rightfully flagged that voter as an undeliverable piece of election mail came back. So that flag has remained on there, and now that we were selecting those persons to receive a card, the undeliverable flag is one of the criteria for those who will receive the card. Now, let me correct something. Okay. Let me make a point because this is important. The Department of Justice, when they visited us, said that the former Secretary of State had an administrative rule in place at the time for flagging voters that the Department of Justice said was actually invalid. But those voters were flagged as having undeliverable mail, put in an active status. All of that had not been done according to the DOJ properly. However, they were put as inactive. And while I say inactive, please, anyone out there listening, inactive does not mean you cannot vote. It simply means that for whatever reason.
Pause and explain what active and inactive actually means, because that was part of what was so confusing to the executive director with Common Cause, in that she looked online to the VoterView website and she saw that her registration said inactive. And what does it mean when you see inactive on VoterView?
And that's exactly what it means. It means that at one point in time, there was a piece of mail that was sent to you that the post office returned to the county clerk as undeliverable mail. So that flag that says inactive, it's a flag, which it should be, to let secretaries of states know, all states do this, to let you know that this person is one of those persons that has to receive the confirmation mailing, which is the first step toward getting to a purge in 2015. So that's exactly what it is. It doesn't mean you haven't been voting. It doesn't mean that because this person then voted a number of times. There are two different things we're talking about. That flag is a flag required under federal law that would make a note to the secretaries of state in all the states that this, for a lack of other term to use here, that person should be included on a list of this mailing that goes out during this time. Now, again, that has nothing to do with the fact that you've been voting all of these years. It's a fact that you had an undeliverable piece of mail sent to your county clerk. But when I say it's a first step, that flag is placed on there, the person gets a card sent to them, and guess what? If you vote in the next municipal election, the school election, the general in 2012, or the general next year, that flag is going to be removed. You will be in an active status. You will be as an active voter again, only for the purpose of you're not ever going to get this card again, and you cannot be purged.
So let me ask a question, just since we've been talking about this one particular case and you did research on it with Diane Wood of Common Cause. So when you say that you found that at some point she had a piece of official mail had been returned to the county where she lived, does that mean that piece of mail was returned since the last time she voted? Or is this flag data, old data from the previous administration that you've used now to compile the lists that you currently sent the mailings out to?
Exactly. And as I mentioned a minute ago.
Exactly, this yes?
Exactly, yes. Yes and no. Let me explain. Again, we're going back to 2005. As I mentioned a moment ago, the DOJ said the administrative rule by the Secretary of State at that time was requiring county clerks to flag these persons. When they were flagged, they remain flagged, which they shouldn't. And let me just say that we're correcting
this. They should have been
this.
Unflagged when they voted, right?
Not necessarily. Possibly, according to the rule they were following, no. Because of the incorrect ruling, that rule, they were flagged and that flag remained there even after they were voting. Because, again, it had nothing to do with whether they were voting. It had to do with the fact that there was an undeliverable piece of mail sent to the county clerk. So the county clerk was doing her job accurately, according to what the direction they were given. So now we come in, the DOJ says, the administrative rule is wrong. We've corrected that rule. We are working on correcting all of those inaccuracies, incorrect things, so that going forward, now, when you go vote, that flag's off of there, you're active, everything's correct. So I think it's important to note that what we're doing is simply following the law and the direction of the Department of Justice to make everything right now in New Mexico and to get this first critical step toward finally being able to conduct a purge in 2015. And so I hope that's a little more clear now. It has to do with undeliverable mail coming back to you. And I heard that Daniel Ivysoto said he had one in his
He got one
somebody
that
else.
Was addressed to somebody else at his
I
house.
I got one in my post office box that was addressed to someone else. But let me just say this. Out of the 177,000 pieces that we mailed out, as of yesterday, more than 85,000 have come back to my office as undeliverable. That tells us all of these people since 2005 to now, all of those people, these people have been gone. I mean, Representative Egolf, when we had a conversation, he called me in my office. I said to him, your father received a card at your home. He said, yes, he did. My father has been living in Colorado for many years, and I have been trying to get him off the voter rolls and have not been able to. And I said to him, that's exactly why we need this process. Unless we have this process, unless we comply with federal law this year with this mailing, then he wouldn't even be removed until after 2015. Finally, in 2015, his father's name will be removed if he doesn't vote, which he shouldn't because he's in Colorado. If he doesn't vote between now and 2014 general and doesn't return the card, which he won't because he shouldn't receive it, then his name finally gets removed and helps us clean up the voter rolls and have only those who are still living in New Mexico eligible to vote voting. It's a whole process. We're simply following the law.
Diana Duran is Secretary of State here in New Mexico. Vicki Harrison is with Common Cause New Mexico. And we are taking your calls and comments this morning. The local number to call is 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. Or you can send an email to callinshow@kunm.org. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with your calls and comments. This is the KUNM Call-In Show.
Support for KUNM comes from the not-for-profit New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where members earn rewards for their relationship, checking, credit cards, auto loans, and mortgages. Details and calculator on member rewards at nmefcu.org.
In some Native communities, there are fiddling and jigging contests that attract participants of every age. Have you ever been moved by a fiddler's tune that made you start tapping your feet? We invite you to join us as we talk about getting jiggy with a fiddle on the next Native America Calling.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
I'm Elaine Baumgartle, and this is the KUNM Call-In Show. We're talking about the maintenance of voter registration rolls and access to the ballot box here in New Mexico. We're joined by Secretary of State Diana Duran and also Vicki Harrison with Common Cause New Mexico. Let's go to the phones right now. Philip in Tejedas, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for a good show and important subject. I'm curious about some unspoken assumptions about anyone who would fear that their rights were being violated by this process to bring the rolls up to date. The belief seems to be that there is a segment of our population that is so timid that even the slightest requirement to live up to the law would prevent them from voting. And I would submit that if there is such a population and they cannot muster the type of wisdom to obey the law, they probably are ill-qualified for informing themselves sufficiently to be part of the democratic process. Now, I don't think it is the case, but that is underlying metaphysic of the objections, that fairly modest requirements to obey the law are met with an assumption that certain powers have to protect a very easily intimidated populace. And then that isn't the case right now in New Mexico, where we live. People are very informed and very able to take care of their civic duties. And I think we need some respect for our citizenship by having a modest standard so that we may ensure the quality of the voter registration rolls and ask people to accommodate their lives to that. It isn't much to ask, is it?
Vicki.
Absolutely. I don't think that it's necessarily intimidation that freaks people out, quite frankly. It's more voters are disenfranchised. I mean, all you have to do is look at the number of people who are actually registered to vote, which is a fraction of the people who can vote, and then look at the number of people who actually show up to the polls, whether it's a municipal election or a presidential election. We have a very small number of people in this country who vote, frankly. And I think that it's more a matter of disenfranchisement. It's a matter of apathy. And we at Common Cause are trying to get everyone to vote. And that's our basic premise. We're nonpartisan, and we just work to get people to vote. So I don't think it's necessarily that we have this group of people who are so intimidated that they get a piece of mail, they're not going to vote. It just is another layer of apathy in this country where people do not vote.
Let me bring into the conversation, I've been looking into what's going on in Florida with the approach that the governor and the secretary of state in Florida are taking to purging the voter rolls there. And the Department of Justice has filed a lawsuit against that state because they are planning on purging their rolls before the 2012 election. Secretary Duran, can you explain the process that you are undertaking in New Mexico and what that means for voters in November of this year?
Well, again, New Mexico is following federal and state law. We are following the law as it relates to the purge that will occur in 2015.
So this process is not going to purge anybody before November.
No, this is, as I call it, the first step as required under federal and state law to lead us to finally in New Mexico being able to conduct a purge in 2015. So, again, anyone who receives one of these cards, doesn't mail it in, and shows up to vote will be allowed to vote. Anyone who's in this inactive status will still be allowed to vote. None of this will affect, and the Secretary of State nor the county clerks have the authority to purge anyone going into this November. As a matter of fact, in 2015, what this does, it creates the list, if you will, that will be turned over to the Board of Registration in each of the 33 counties prior to March 15th of 2015. This is a board that is appointed by the local boards of county commissioners who will meet and review the list to assure that this person received one of these cards in 2012, did not return it, and this is a very important and, did not vote in any election from the date of the notice through the general election in 2014, and only then, when that Board of Registration determines that that happened, all of that happened, then they will direct the county clerks who they can remove from the voter rolls at that time. Again, 2015. That's what we're doing in New Mexico.
Let's take another call. Ann in Albuquerque. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. This is a very interesting discussion for me. I have a comment, or it's a question. I understood, and this is how it's worked for me, and I moved from Georgia to Texas and from Texas to New Mexico over 20 years ago, that when you register in a new state, your previous registration is canceled. The new state actually tells you, tells the previous state that you're no longer voting. On our voter registration forms, and I am a voter registrar, there is a place on the form where you can put where you were registered before. And the assumption is that this information will be given to the previous government organization. Well, my son moved away from here on a permanent basis in 2006. He was still on the rolls this year. So I told him, you have to write a letter to the clerk and have them remove your name. That is not how I think it should be done, but that's what he did. His name is no longer on the rolls. My husband died this past winter, and I've already had his name removed from the rolls. Maybe it's because I know more about what's going on, but is that not the case, that a state will inform the previous state when they get a voter from another state?
Secretary Duran.
Thank you for that question, and it's a very good question. As you correctly stated, that on the form, when a person registers to vote in New Mexico, there is a place that says, I'm currently registered in another state. However, many people don't fill that out. If someone moves here from another state, registers to vote, they don't necessarily always fill that in. If they do, the county clerks and their staff, and having been a county clerk myself, I know when I was a clerk, we directed our staff, and we have a great bunch of 33 county clerks out there. I know that they direct their staffs to do this. Will direct their staffs to contact or send a copy of that voter registration to the state that is listed on the registration that that person was previously registered in. But as you and I both know, many times, number one, the person may not have filled that section in, and number two, it's possible that it wasn't processed correctly. You know, the clerk didn't send one, or who knows, in the other state, they may not have taken any action to remove that voter. So in New Mexico now, for the first time, we have another piece of legislation that was introduced in 2011 and passed that now requires a voter, or allows a voter, upon their request, to have their name removed from the voter rolls. So today, someone can do that. But for many years, we did not have that process in place. So if everything worked the way it should, every time someone new registered in New Mexico, they ought to fill that portion of the registration out. And again, ideally, every county clerk and every deputy in every county clerk's office processing these should send a copy and have their name removed from the state they were registered in.
The ideal world.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take another call. Linda in Albuquerque. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello, Linda. It looks like we might have lost Linda. Let's go to Greg in Los Alamos. Good morning, Greg. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm one of those people that got a card, and I've lived in the same location for 8 years, voted in virtually every election, and I'm just questioning the competency of this process. The Secretary's explanations as for why this happens doesn't really sound very convincing to me.
What is your response, Secretary Duran?
Greg, thank you for that comment, and I agree. The competency of what happened in this office, in the Secretary of State's office, over the past 4 years, it's unbelievable. I mean, I have to agree with you. It was the incompetency of not following the law for the last two mailings in 2007 and 2009, and then giving the clerks an incorrect ruling on how to address and flag these voters, which is why we have come in working closely with DOJ and the Attorney General to try to turn that around and correct all of those things that have been done wrong for so many years. And we are simply trying to correct all of that. But you're exactly right. The situation as it is needs a lot of correction and a lot of work on our part to make sure moving forward that none of these things occur anymore. So you're exactly right.
So the Department of Justice did approach the Secretary of State, I believe it was in 2007, to say your state statutes are not in compliance, your process for confirmation mailings is not in compliance. And it was at that point that the previous administration started working with the Department of Justice and they started upgrading state statutes. At least that was what Daniel Ivy Soto was saying. We started at that point to make changes to the state statutes and to try to bring the state requirements into compliance with the National Voter Registration Act. If I remember correctly from our interview, that's kind of what he was saying. This process started earlier. My question is there any way that you could have approached the database and collected information and used current information instead of old information before doing the purge so that you didn't have to use this outdated information that wasn't correctly maintained for this particular round of confirmation mailings?
Unfortunately, no. And just let me correct you on something. And I know if Daniel said that, you know, I don't know what he's talking about. But however, the Department of Justice advised me that they had no cooperation from the previous administration, that in fact, they flew down to visit with her and she refused to meet with them. So they said to the point that I came into office, there was no cooperation and no one willing to work with them to manage that. As a matter of fact, I think Mary Herrera pointed out somewhere that Daniel Ivy Soto, who was her elections manager in 07, failed to do the job in 07, according to Mary Herrera, that under his watch, that's when the mailing did not even get sent out. So I'm not so sure what Daniel's talking about there, but the DOJ has informed me that there was no cooperation, which is why they asked us to come in with their follow their direction and clear up everything. So all of those flaggings that were done by the clerks at that time, I have, again, no authority to go into a voter's record and remove a flag or change anything or delete anything, nor do I want that authority. So all of these flags that were there, the Department of Justice said you have to include those names in the list in order to follow the appropriate process to get those names removed in 15. So no, we didn't have the ability to go in and clean up any of that prior to this. And this is why we're doing the mailing now.
Vicki, is this, Vicki with Common Cause, Vicki Harrison, is this kind of database management issue something that states across the U.S. are dealing with? And is this something that New Mexico has dealt with for a longer period of time than just the recent administration?
Well, obviously so. I mean, I think that this is, the Secretary just pointed out a really huge flaw, in my opinion, is that you get inherited a list from 7 years ago and have to use that list. I mean, to me, that's absolutely ridiculous. Why can't our Secretary of State go in and look at their own voter view where it shows people have voted, or talk to the clerks and find out? I mean, I just don't understand why in this process we couldn't have, before this 177,000 postcards went out, how about sending that 177,000 names to the county clerks and have them check off the people and say, hey, actually this person voted. So the process itself that we are having to follow in New Mexico, and obviously other states are following it too, it's federal law, is flawed. And we need to change that process. There needs to be a way before we send out these cards to be able to say somebody's already voted.
Is there, no, what, could you
I
have
disagree.
Done that?
No, I disagree with all of that for the simple fact that we would have been violating the law had we done that. The law does not allow county clerks or my office to do any such thing. And then let me just make this point. Other states aren't going through this. And you know why? Because the Department of Justice said New Mexico is the only state that did not comply in 07 and 09. They sat across the table from me and said, we're the only state in this situation, which I think is really sad. All other states have been complying every 2 years. So when you comply with the law every 2 years, you won't have this situation, which we should not have right now before us. Had we been compliant every 2 years and cleaning up our voter rolls, we would not be where we are today. And I think that's really sad. All the other states are not going through this because guess what? Their Secretary of State complied in 05, 07, 09, all the way back to 1995. We're doing it correctly now and have to correct all of those issues from 05 now because we were the only state that was noncompliant for so many years. So we have a huge mess, if you will, to fix this year. We're doing it. We're finally in compliance. Going forward, we will continue to comply with federal law every 2 years, and we shouldn't have this problem going forward.
We have a question, an email question from Robert in Rosciata, and he wrote and asked, what is being done to publicize the this process so that people aren't confused? One, that was for part one. And part two was, what criteria were used to determine the targets of the 177,000 folks that were sent notices this time around?
Okay. And I think I already mentioned the criteria, but I'll quickly go over that again. Under the federal requirements and the direction of the Department of Justice, anyone who was flagged as having had a piece of election mail returned to the county clerk, they have a flag as undeliverable. Those persons who were flagged like that at the 33 counties, those persons were part of what we were required to, part of the criteria that was used to include them in this mailing. In addition, under the National Voter Registration Act, there is the National Change of Address, which is anybody who, if you go to the post office and you fill out a change of address form, those persons, there is a requirement under federal law that we took our 1.2 million registered voter database and the National U.S. Postal Service's NCOA, as they call it, change of address. Those persons who came up as a result of filling out a change of address, those were included also. So those were the criteria used. And again, not just people that we selected in the Secretary of State's office. There was strict criteria that had to be followed that generated the names of those persons who would receive a card. And I forgot the other part of this question.
The second question was, what is being done to publicize this process so that folks aren't confused?
As far as the Secretary of State's office is, we did send out a press release, which we tried to let everyone know that the cards were coming out. But in addition, we have 33 county clerks, and I think I'm going to take a moment here to thank those county clerks for the support that they have given us. 33 county clerks, and I think even Bernalillo County Clerk, has tried very hard to get the word out, to clarify through different organizations that the process is required by law, what's going on. If you receive a card, here's what you do. And then the Department of Justice and the Attorney General, working in conjunction with my office, carefully put the language in the card to inform anyone who received it exactly what you need to do. So the 33 county clerks are out there. They're receiving calls and they're handling them and basically reiterating what we're saying is that it's federal law required. They can tell you why you received a card if you need to know. Or I encourage anyone out there who has received a card, doesn't know why, wants to know why, please call my office. And we have a great staff who have been answering questions and actually letting everybody know exactly why you received a card. So the clerks are out there in all the 33 counties, and we're all working to make sure anyone who's confused gets an answer to this.
Secretary of State Diana Duran, we're also joined this morning by Vicki Harrison with Common Cause New Mexico. We are taking your calls about the confirmation mailings that Secretary Duran has sent out recently to over 177,000 folks who were registered to vote in New Mexico. If you have questions about this process or you'd like to make a comment, the number to call locally here in Albuquerque is 277-5866. You can also call toll free 877-899-5866 or send an email to callinshow@kunm.org. You can also post your comments online. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more of your calls.
The 40th Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival welcomes Sony Masterworks recording artist Tiempo Libre to the Lenzic Performing Arts Center Friday, August 17th at 8 p.m. As teenagers, the members of Tiempo Libre secretly listen to forbidden American music in Havana. Their signature timba music, an intense, sophisticated mix of Latin jazz and Afro-Cuban rhythms, is thrilling to hear and to see. Tickets and complete details at SantaFeChamberMusic.com. A message from the tax-exempt Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival.
Michelle mentioned how much she was enjoying her pole dancing classes. And the light bulb went on. And then a Groupon showed up in my email the next day. And I thought, that's a sign, right?
Join us for more true stories told live next time on the Moth Radio Hour from the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org.
Sunday morning at 11 on 89.9 KUNM.
I'm Elaine Baumgartel, and this is the KUNM Call-In Show. We're talking about the confirmation mailing that was sent by New Mexico Secretary of State Diana Duran and the maintenance of voter registration rolls here in New Mexico. We're also joined by Vicki Harrison from Common Cause New Mexico. Our phone lines are full, so we're going to go to your calls now. If you do receive a busy signal and you're trying to call in, please do try again, especially immediately after we take a call from another another person making comments. You can also send email to callinshow@kunm.org or post your comments online. Let's go to Nancy in Albuquerque.
Hi, Lane. Thank you so much for your show, as always. I am an elder person. I live in Silvercrest Residence, which is a low-income housing setup, and I moved to Albuquerque or to New Mexico the year that President Obama was elected. So I have made attempts to get registered, and I finally managed to, and I have voted in elections since then, although I have to vote absentee because of the fact that I am disabled and legally blind, so I can't drive. I wanted to know if there was any chance that I might get such a card or that I might be disenfranchised by what's going on right now. I'm almost as alarmed not to get a card as to get a card, because that means I don't know what's going on in my particular case.
Secretary Duran, this is Nancy in Albuquerque.
Nancy, this is Secretary Duran. I would encourage you, if you would, just to make you feel a little bit better, if you would call my office. I'm going to give you a toll-free number and also the direct number. And speak to Bobby Shearer, who is the election – I call her our elections boss in New Mexico, but she is my director of Bureau of Elections. And if you could write this number down, it's 800-477-3632. Or you can call direct if you'd like. It's 827-3600. And tell them that I asked you to call to speak to Bobby. Give her your name and let her pull your name up in our voter database and let her assure you that everything is okay, that you won't receive a card, that everything is okay for the upcoming election, for you to receive an absentee ballot. We encourage everyone, such as yourself, we want you to be sure that to feel sure that you are going to be eligible to vote if you're registered and that everything is fine with your registration. So if you would take just a moment and call her, I'm sure that she will reassure you that if you have not already received your card, I doubt that you will, but just to make sure and set your mind at ease, would you give her a call and let her help you?
And even if she does receive a card,
all she has to do is go vote. Exactly.
Let's take another call. John in Albuquerque. Good morning, John. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you today?
Just fine. Thank you.
I think this is a really important topic, and I'm glad you're covering it. The thing that is perplexing to me that there's so much pushback in our society to make an authentic voting experience. And the voting experience is not that you go and vote, but that you know that all the votes that will be cast are true and real, authentic votes. And I don't understand why there's pushback to verify the authenticity of people who are voting. I mean, it's a joke. In many counties in our state, that people vote illegally. And they probably vote off of these people who are truly not registered to vote. And I don't understand that pushback. Every person in America should want an authentic voting system. And, you know, we have third world countries that have more authenticity in their voting systems than we. And we, as a, you know, a nation of democracy and, you know, leader in that position, we're not a very good leader because we don't lead by example. And this state is a great example of that. And I'm glad that there's getting to be more authenticity because, quite frankly, I want to know that our leaders were elected honestly and fairly. It doesn't matter who they are.
Vicki.
Well, I think that the problem is we constantly hear stories of voter fraud and people voting illegally. And then we come across a case like Sunland Park, New Mexico. And those weren't, you know, this roving band of citizens illegally voting. This were county officials. These were city officials. These were actual people who were employed by our state or our county who did the most of that. So I think that, you know, again, it's not that people have a problem. Common Cause absolutely supports a clean voting roll. I mean, we don't want people who aren't here legally or people who don't live here voting. I mean, that just completely trashes our process. We just want people to know that they can vote. And the secretary mentioned that she did a press release when this came out. And, you know, personally, we would like to have another press release going out saying, hey, if you got this card, you can still vote in the next two general elections. Make that clear, because part of the press release that the secretary did send out was a little bit confusing. I mean, the last sentence ended up with, if you turn this card in, then you'll still be eligible to vote. When actually, when you don't have to turn the card in to be eligible to vote. So I think that's where the confusion comes from, and we just need more of a public education campaign.
I do have a comment, an email comment from, let's see, who is it from? Cliff, who says that he's seen in current news reports that the postcard says that if you vote in the upcoming elections and do not mail in the postcard, you will be removed from the list.
That's not true.
So it's not what the postcard says, but it's also not how the process works either, right, Secretary Duran?
That's right.
Let's take another call. Sunny in Albuquerque. Good morning, Sunny. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking the call. I just was curious. I am very interested in this whole process, but I have been a registered voter in New Mexico for about 25 years. I have moved around in New Mexico, though, and I currently live in Albuquerque, and I meet all of the criteria that the Secretary of State just mentioned for receiving one of those cards, and I have not, although I am registered currently as a Republican, so I would like her to explain that.
Secretary Duran.
Thank you for the question. But without specifically knowing, and I don't know that I want to do this over the air, without me getting your specific information, your name, address, and so on, I could not answer the question as to why you got one or will you be receiving one. Again, I think just as I did the previous caller, I would encourage you to call my Director of Bureau of Elections at that toll-free number. If you'd like, I can give that again. And let us look at
your
specifically.
We'll post it on our website.
Okay.
We'll post it on our post the phone number that you've mentioned on our website at KUNM.org. Yeah. Again, it was 800-477-3632. We will post that online.
And if you would just call the office, let us look at it. We can certainly take the time, research your registration, and we'll get those answers for you as to whether or not why you did get why you may be receiving one or why you did not. Yeah. Let us look at that, but I don't want to get that information over the air here, so please call my office and let us help you out with that.
Let's go to Scott in Santa Fe. Good morning, Scott. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Considering this concerted effort we've seen across the country by states that have Republican administrations to create blockages for certain populations voter population. I have a question for Vicki Harrison concerning this. Do you happen to know what the percentage of party affiliations are included in this mailing? I think that would be very telling to see who's receiving and who's not. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you for that question. And again, we don't know that. This 177,000 is not, you know, something that they put together per party. And so I don't have that breakdown, but the secretary does have that. So I'll let her finish this one.
I'm flipping through my papers here to see if I still have those numbers with me. But a court, and it pretty much coincides with the ratio based on registered voters, Democrats and Republicans. But of those 177,000 that were mailed out, there were a little more than 40,000 went to what we call declined to state, or those who did not select any party, whether minor or major party. A little more than 82,000 were sent to Democrats, and a little more than 52,000 were mailed out to Republicans, and a little more than 2,000 were minor party candidates or minor party voters, registered voters who received those. So the breakdown is pretty much in line with, based on what our voter registration is, proportionate to the registration there. So there were a number from each. I hope that helps you. That was a large number from each group.
Great. We have one more call. Javier in Albuquerque. Good morning, Javier. You're on the air.
Great. Thanks, Elaine.
Can I get you to pick up your handset, please? We're not going to be able to hear you while you're on your speakerphone.
I'm sorry?
I need you on your handset, sir. We can't hear you on your speakerphone.
I'm sorry. I am on my handset here. I wonder if it's, I'm trying to walk to a quiet place. Is that better?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. We'll need your question very quickly because we're right up at the end of the show.
Okay, I'd like to read a statement to the Secretary of State and get her reaction. And that's from Mike Terzai, the Republican House Majority Leader of Pennsylvania, who said, voter ID, which is going to allow Governor Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania, done. And what is her response to that?
I couldn't hear the whole statement.
I believe the question was, is a voter ID law something that would help Mitt Romney win the presidential election?
That's not a question I can answer, but I will tell you that I've been a proponent of voter ID since I became a state senator in 1993. So as to whether or not it will help Mitt Romney or not, that's not anything I would have specific knowledge of. But I will tell you that as a proponent of voter ID, I believe that having a voter ID requirement would, when we talk about persons not having faith in our electoral system, not having faith in elections in New Mexico, I think that is one step toward assuring integrity in our election process, having people feel reassured that their vote will count and count only once, and it will take care of a lot of the issues that we just discussed about persons who may appear at the polling place and attempt to vote when we don't know who they are. We don't have an ID requirement when you show up at the polls. We don't know if you are the person that you say you are when you go to vote at the polls, because we don't have a voter ID requirement. So I'm sorry I can't answer your question about Mitt Romney, but I will tell you that I continue to support a voter ID requirement, and I will, as long as I'm in my position or any other position when I'm able to voice that support. I think it's very important for the integrity in our election process.
Secretary Duran, I would like to host a conversation about voter IDs as right. The election approaches in November. Will you come back and join us to talk about it?
I would love to.
Fabulous.
And I'd love to join you and
because
talk about the other side.
Because it's a whole nother conversation.
Sure,
and
I
thank Javier for pointing out that this is another part of the conversation about voting in New Mexico. I want to get last comments from each of you. Closing comments on this topic about the confirmation mailers. What do you want folks to take from our conversation today? Vicki.
I want folks to take away that, just as I've said and the Secretary has said, even if you get one of these cards, you're still eligible to vote. And what we at Common Cause would like is more of a public education campaign out of the Secretary of State's office clarifying this. More press releases, maybe some PSAs, working with the local television channels to get that out there so people realize when they get a card, they can still vote.
Secretary Duran.
Which is what we are out there doing. The reason I'm coming not only to your radio station, but everybody else who invites me and everywhere else, is to clarify and get the correct information out. I would also hope that groups such as Common Cause and any other groups out there, that they would attempt to get the correct information from us and give that information to their reader, their group, and anybody else out there. I would hope that we would have the support of such groups to help people understand and be less confused about the process. But again, if anyone's concerned, please contact my office and we will be certainly happy to help explain it, check your registration, do whatever we can to clarify this whole process.
Secretary of State Diana Duran and Vicki Harrison with Common Cause New Mexico, thanks to you both for joining us this morning.
If you
missed a portion of the show this morning, we'll be posting the audio online at KUNM.org. Join us next week, Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll have some of the folks who worked with the Curiosity rover that landed on Mars talking about some of the new information that we're getting from Mars. Mars! Next week, it's Mars. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Thanks to Roman Garcia for engineering this morning. Andy Lyman is our news intern. He screened your calls this morning. This is the KUNM Collins Show, and we'll be back next week, Thursday morning at 8, here on KUNM.